We're going to be looking at Ezekiel 22:30 this evening. Our message is about a few good men. The text in Ezekiel 22:30 tells us, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, there's some prerequisites to being a good father, and that is being a man, a functioning as a man, taking responsibility as a man, thinking like a man, acting like a man, working like a man. All of these are prerequisites to being a good father. And you will not be a good father until you are a good man. It's a dying art today. There are not many in our nation today. And thank God we do have a few good men here. We can always use a few more, of course. Now I want to take you through a little bit of a men's thesaurus. Men don't always say what they mean. So ladies, please allow me to translate for your future benefit. When a man says, it would take too long to explain, he means, I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard, he means, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? When a man says, it's a guy thing, he means there is no rational thought pattern connected with this and you have no chance at all of making it logical. When a man says, can I help with dinner? He means, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, uh-huh, sure, honey, or yes, dear, he means absolutely nothing. It's just a conditioned response. When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, it means I can remember the theme song to Hogan's Heroes, the phone number of the first girl that I ever dated, the vehicle identification numbers of every car I ever owned, but yes, I forgot your birthday. When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself, it's no big deal, it means I probably severed a limb, but I'll bleed to death before I admit I'm hurt, so get over here and help me. When a man says, I can't find it, it means it didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm completely clueless. When a man says, I heard you, he means I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so that you'll not spend the next 3 days yelling at me. When a man says, you know, I could never love anyone else, he means, I'm used to the way that you yell at me and I realize it could be worse. When a man says, you look terrific, he means, oh, please don't try on one more outfit, we're late and I'm starving. But a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. But a man says, I don't think I can go today, he means shopping is not a sport. And no, I am never going to think of it that way. But a man says, I don't remember saying that, it's because he means anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in any argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. When a man says, that's not what I meant, he means if something I said can be interpreted two ways, and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. If your husband says, honey, what color is this? He means all men see only in 16 colors, like the Windows default setting. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is a fruit. You know, we thank God today for the good men that He has sent us. And we want to look at things that make for good men. First, good men are men who have learned to lean, and we mean to lean on the Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And we first talk about that, we mean that they have learned to lean on the Lord for their own salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, we men are bad about trying to be in control, about trying to make things happen. And often ladies find it easier to rest in the Lord and lean on Him for salvation. It's a part of a woman's nature to place themselves through someone else's hands. It's not that way for men. Is that fair? Well, Jesus kind of solves this dilemma for us in Matthew 18:3 when He says, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And He said, "Verily, children then have this attitude of trust, even male children. But something happens to us once we begin to feel that slightest amount of thickness with our peach fuzz. And I thank God for a few men we have here at Joy that they have learned to lean on the Lord for their salvation. But secondly, not only to lean on the Lord for their salvation, but also for their strength. Isaiah 40 and verses 30 and 31, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." You know, he delighteth not in the strength of his own, but instead he relies upon the strength of the Lord. A third thing here is not only salvation and strength, and then but then the supply. Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We all want to be the breadwinner, the mighty hunter, but ultimately we need to see even our own selves as being in God's hands. And then a fourth thing that we see: salvation, strength, supply, and soundness. If we turn to James 1:5, we find this given to us: "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." And then this is one of our of only two prayers any man can pray with it when the answer is always yes. When you pray for wisdom to God, the answer is always yes. Yes. And I thank God for a few good men who have learned to lean. But we need to have men also then who have learned to lead. And first, they need to lead their flesh. Galatians 5:16-17, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another." Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." We have to first take care of ourselves. We have to take care of the flesh. We have to take leadership over our own lives first. Secondly then, after we've taken control there, we need to also realize that God has put us in charge of our families. Ephesians 5:23 says this: "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Headship isn't being the big boss. It's a loving leadership. God is no respecter of persons. Women are equal in His sight. But the Bible says that she is the weaker vessel. And this is not an insult. Rather, this is a compliment to her. She is not less valuable. Rather, she is more fragile and in need of strong yet loving leadership. Women are like fine silk and men are like corduroy. Silk and corduroy, you know, which is more fragile? Which is more valuable? Well, the answer to both questions, of course, is silk. In God's wisdom, He has given each family a head for anything with two heads would be a monster. But this is not a privilege so much as it is a responsibility. The hardest thing you will ever do will be a good husband and a good father to your children. Eli could run the temple, but he could not run his family. David could run a kingdom and lead men into battle, but he could not run his children. So we need to lead our flesh, we need to lead our families, and we also then need to respond in a leadership to the fallen. And Hosea 6:7 says, "But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me." And the word that is translated "men" in this verse could be translated "Adam," and it gives a little different picture here. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Therefore, Romans 5:18 and 19, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteous of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." We need to help those who are fallen. You know, after we have taken things in their proper order, we need to respond to people who need to hear a message of life. A message that will lift them up from where they are and stand them up on the firm ground that we have found. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And I thank God for our few good men who have learned to lead. But then there is one third thing. We need men who have learned to love. And they need first to learn to love the Father. And 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." And goes on to tell us, you know, that we can do all sorts of things. Bestow our goods to feed the poor and give our body to burn. But have not charity, it doesn't profit us anything. 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha," as or be accursed here. And so the first thing we need to do is learn to love the Father. Learn to love the Lord. Secondly, we need, of course, to learn to love our families. We covered this under leadership. When we said that the only real leadership is a loving leadership. And further, God admonishes every husband to love your wife. And this may seem like a strange admonition to many. Some will say, "Well, if I didn't love her, I wouldn't have married her." Wait a minute. Love, as is used here, means far more than affection. You know, it means more than an emotional feeling or satisfaction. It means that you and I are going to seek the welfare and the happiness of the person that we are going to love and lead them lovingly. And that means that my effort will be to make the object of my love happy and secure and comfortable. And this admonition goes far beyond just telling the husband to love his wife as long as she is beautiful and lovely. No? A man was talking to his wife after she had done something that he did not approve of, and he said to her, "How can you be so beautiful and stupid at the same time?" And she replied, God made me beautiful so you would love me. And he made me stupid so I would love you. The third thing then is the Father. Learn to love the Father, learn to love our families, and learn to love the fellowship. And Ephesians 5:25 tells us Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. He loved the church. He loved this body so much that he gave his life for. We should love the body ourselves. We should be in love with each other. And that we should love in the same way. Revelation 3:9 says, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. It's written to a church here. A church that had all sorts of difficulties going on, but he said, I have loved thee. He loves the church. And so should we. Isaiah 43:4 says, Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Matthew 12:50, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And we need to love and be joined to the family then. Be connected here. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me can do nothing. Acts 2:41 and 47, Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So I thank God again for the good men that God has given to us. Don't you? I appreciate, as I look around and week after week, and I look around the room and I see the men that fill this room, I realize God has given us some magnificent men and magnificent role examples that gather here week after week. And I thank Him for that. But we need a few more, don't we? Just a few good more, men. Ezekiel 22:30. A few good men from Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.